Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Woodlake.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. What does it mean? It means this. Whatever the message of your business is, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan and a method and everything you need to get that message out there, to get customers coming in the door and continuing to come in the door for as long as you want them to. Whatever you're looking to say about your business, Pip Printing and Signs can help you say it. Don't forget that if you are a Bulldog fan and you are a business owner, spending money on printing is something you already do. By giving your business to Pip Printing and Signs, you can make a 10% donation of your sale to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. You become a Bulldog Initiative business. And all you've got to do is spend the money you're already spending on printing. Now more than ever, the Bulldog Initiative needs your help. You can do it without spending any extra money just by working with Pip Printing and Signs. Call Cam Baker today, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. You are looking for it. You need new gear. The holidays are coming up. You know you're going to put MSU gear under the tree. Let College Corner show you how to put the best MSU gear under the tree. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town awaits you at Restaurant Tyler. Had lunch there last week. It was fantastic. Probably going to have lunch again there this week, or maybe dinner. We've got some friends coming into town. The last time this big group of my wife's friends came into town, we had a big deal at Restaurant Tyler, and it was fantastic. Might want to do that again. Doesn't matter when I go, I know that I'm going to have the best meal because I went to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let it show you not only where they're located, but they can show you how they're going to help you manage your money, how they're going to help you invest and help you plan for your future. Now more than ever, it's more important to be able to talk to your local bankers, to be able to ask questions about your money, to get answers quickly. You can't do that with those big corporate banks that give you a 1-800 number. You need a number to call and talk to a human being. You need to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I've been driving. The Lions really ran a tackle eligible or something up 47-9.
It wasn't 47 yet. No, there's like 37-9.
And yeah, but still.
So they threw a pass to the wide receiver, and Penei Sewell is like rounding around him, and they toss it to him. And that big son gun like dove into the end zone. Like he was getting in, and they called an eligible man downfield.
Oh, come on.
Away from the play.
There should be a rule that if something's cool, it stands.
Yes.
That's true.
If you converted like a really cool play,
no penalties.
It counts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
but
I agree.
Yeah, the Cowboys, oh my God. They're awful. And my team lost to them last week in devastating fashion.
Somehow my team
at home.
I don't know how.
The NFL's crazy, man.
It really is. It was a weird year in the NFL. Your team did win today, did they not? Oh yeah, they won big.
They did. I beat John Sokolov's Raiders.
Oh, there you go.
I cheer against John.
We both got what we wanted out of that game. Your team won, and I got a touchdown out of Alexander Madison.
There you go.
We're all happy. Mississippi State drops another game, but a different. The losses are feeling different. This loss doesn't feel like it felt 3-4 weeks ago. Mississippi State drops a 41-31 decision to the Georgia Bulldogs out there in between the hedges. Georgia, behind a monster day from Carson Beck, has their way with the Bulldog defense. But offensively, State had a lot of bright spots, number one among them, quarterback Michael Van Buren, who threw for over 300 yards. A lot to talk about in this one. One man knows more than most. Let's let him go. Ladies and gentlemen, I have one thing left to say. Tell them, fuck! That's not bad. That's not bad for a loss. Not bad.
We're getting close. Close to getting that grovelly response that everybody's been searching for. Not quite there. Brian, we were said to have been really negative about this game coming into it.
We were.
And I want to reiterate to the people out there that consider us negative or rebels or we hate Mississippi State. There is no one on the planet besides me and Brian that feels as good about this game, you know, out there. I mean, I believe that I feel as good about this as anybody, even the most positive people. And I'll tell you why, because it wasn't, you know, just the points that Mississippi State put up or the yardage or, you know, the performance of Michael Van Buren. It was the fact that this team has faced adversity now in the biggest way in the first part of the season with the losses to Toledo and Florida. You lose Blake Shapen for the season. You're throwing in a true freshman quarterback. This team could have very easily laid down with this stretch coming up, and that's I wasn't going to predict them laying down, but I felt like this was going to be just overwhelming for this team to play Texas and Georgia in back-to-back games on the road. And somehow this team is getting up, dusting themselves off, and they're getting better. And that is the mark of a well-coached team. That is the mark of a healthy culture. It's not where you want it to be just yet, but I think the signs are obviously there. I have some more thoughts on this. I wrote a column earlier today just talking about Jeff Lebby and how I really believe that this is the guy to get Mississippi State back on track. I really believe that he has a plan in place from a program standpoint, from a schematic standpoint offensively. I feel like he is a guy that really has a grasp on what can be successful in this league. And to go on the road, I didn't think Georgia played a great ball game, and they still had 600 yards of offense and 41 points. But this is still Georgia. And for Mississippi State to go to Athens and put up quite possibly the best offensive performance they've ever had against a top five opponent on the road, that speaks volumes to me about what Jeff Lebby's doing, the buy-in that the players are having with Jeff Lebby, and kind of the overall health of this program right now as they get ready to move into the rest of the schedule. And I've never been more confident in the fact that I think Jeff Lebby and State is going to get an upset this year, that they are going to beat someone they weren't supposed to beat. I think that is in line for this team. It would shock me if they don't. But the general point is not about wins and losses. It's about the fact that you can kind of see this team with tangible evidence getting better and better each week, to the point where I think that this it's pretty apparent to me this is the guy.
Well said. I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah, you keep a lot of times, and I mean, this was the kind of the point in the season last year where they gave up on Arnett, right?
Yeah.
You know, these guys gave up on Arnett. Different team, totally different look, but they gave up at that point. You know, they didn't really have anything left in the tank. This team, despite having a worse record, you know, has not done that. They continue to buy in. They continue to play hard. And I, you know, like I always say, playing hard is kind of the minimum level of expectation I have of a football team, but they're doing that and they're playing well. They're playing about as well as you could hope for in the situations that they're in right now. So good for them. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whether you're cooking out this weekend or you are letting someone else do the cooking, make it beef. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Nothing better than a sizzling hot steak on your plate. So make it happen. Either grill it up yourself or go check out one of our tremendous steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. You'll be a winner no matter what you choose. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. When you're in Starkville, you want to grab a great meal. You can't go wrong with a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Also can't go wrong with a trip to Starkville's best new restaurant, The Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. So whatever you're in the mood for, we've got you covered right there in the Cotton District. Head to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Head to The Older Brother. Enjoy a great meal right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Vantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. 50.
50.
50. If you need new technology for your business, you need a new printer, new copier, new computers, laptops, mailing and information systems, they've got you covered at Advantage Business Systems. And, excuse me, if something goes wrong and you need service, it's just the same number to call. It's the same people to talk to. It's not a call center that puts you on hold for 45 minutes or longer. It's not an out-of-state technician who'll be there in a week to 10 days. Because you're in Mississippi and they're in Mississippi, a lot of times they'll solve your problem the same day. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I just did that one. Before you go to the games this fall, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. What a selection they've got. You can't find the stuff they have anywhere else. It's not available. It's a Maroon & Co. exclusive. Then they've got a lot of them, the really cool stuff that you're looking for with the logos that you want. They've got the Bulldog Initiative gear. They've got custom cowbells made by the Bellsmith. It's all right there in one location right here in Starkville. And you can use our promo code to save you a little money. Thunder15 is the code. 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. We are looking at a relatively moderate crop of things that are true today. These are the things that are true. Are brought to you by the good folks at Bell Building Supply, the Golden Triangle's platinum big green egg dealer. If you want to cook out, there is no finer contraption, no finer accessory to have than the big green egg. All of the joy of cooking over live fire, but all of the precision and ease of a pellet grill or an electric cooker, it's all right there available to you with the big green egg. And the place to get them is Bell Building Supply. If you're already a big green egg owner, all the accessories, the charcoal, everything you're looking for to accentuate your grilling experience is available to you at Bell Building Supply. Go talk to our friend Wes and tell him you want heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. You want to get a big green egg. You want to be tailgating and cooking out with the best. It's right there. Bell Building Supply, your platinum big green egg dealer and presenter of These Are the Things That Are True. I got seven of them, Robbie. Let's dive right in. Number one. This is a very, very deep cut here. That was better. That was better. I mean, I can't. That was better.
It didn't look like it was going to be better.
Yeah. At 27-10, I was like, at 34-10, I was like,
Yeah.
Great job from there. That was better. 2 weeks in a row, that was better.
The three of the last four possessions, that little run they had there, third quarter into the fourth, that might have been some of the best offensive football collectively that Mississippi State's had in a long time. What Michael Van Buren and the offense did in three of the last four possessions, I think that's right. You scored three touchdowns, and then the other drive, you had some success in it, and you just – happened to have a penalty that kind of derailed it, and it was, if I remember right, it was kind of controversial. But that's stretch there, if Mississippi State gets that more often, now you're talking.
Number two, Robbie, if I told you back in June, hey, State's going to go 11-1 this year, The only game they're going to lose is to Georgia, and the score is going to be 41-31. You would be all over that. Be like, hold on, they went 11-1, and the only game they lost was to probably the best team in the country, and it was only by 10? That's fantastic. This is obviously a great team. So what I would say is, if you're going to take it in that situation, you got to take it now. And if you are someone who's still mad, if you're like, ah, they suck, and I just, you're not mad about what happened Saturday. You're mad about what happened against Toledo. Sort of what we had a few years ago with Kentucky, Alabama, you remember?
Yeah.
This is the same situation here. You simply cannot be upset after what you saw on Saturday, especially from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, for sure. I think for the most part, you know, I haven't talked or heard from any state fans the last 2 days that weren't excited, you know, thinking about positives, the future and stuff like that. I haven't talked to anybody or heard from anybody that's a state fan that says, yeah, but we still suck. You know, at this point, I think people are bought in with what Jeff Lebby's going to do. I think it's finally gotten over that conversation of, you know, this is going to be tough to sit through. This is what we're going to have to rebuild. People didn't want to hear that at first. But I think at this point, people are saying now, okay, this is what's got to happen.
Mm.
So, I like where things sit right now.
Agreed.
At 1-5, it sounds strange, but
it does. But we said a few weeks ago, you got to kind of take your pleasures where you get them with this team.
Yeah.
What you saw, the way they played against Georgia, Georgia's a great team. They'll be in the college football playoff. They'll be in the national championship hunt. The rest of the way, there's nobody on your schedule as good as Georgia. If you play that way against everybody else, you have a chance to walk away with some wins. There's no question about that, in my opinion. Which, do I have that? I think I have that on the list. Yeah, I do. Yeah, we'll get back to that, I guess.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Number three, in college football, there is nothing more exciting for a team that's struggling than a good young quarterback. Yeah, you think back to Dak's first couple starts, and we're like, look at this guy. He is the future. Van Buren's got that shine on him right now, and he's delivering. You know, he's played two games against the number one and the number five team in the country on the road, and he's played pretty well in both of them. I mean, he was really good in the second half last week. He started out really slow, like really slow, to the point where I was like, what is going on here? I don't understand. I mean, he was missing easy ones, and I think Lebby addressed that in the post game. He talked about missing some layups. But by the end of the second half, I mean, he was just throwing darts out there. I was really impressed with how, when the game slowed down for him, how much better he looked and how good he looked.
Yeah, I think it was certainly that first quarter missing the slants on third down. I think he missed two or three of those throws. I think that was most definitely a jitters kind of thing. You know, you're in another difficult environment. Georgia is a more difficult environment to play in than Texas.
Yes.
It just is.
Agreed.
It's what you grow accustomed to being in the SEC. And I think, you know, eventually Texas will get there too, but it's a different kind of atmosphere, it appears. I think that played a factor in his early game struggles, and that hurt Mississippi State because they got behind 27-10 on the heels of that start. You had, I think, three and outs in a row. So, being able to kind of get back on your horse and have the half he had in the second half, I mean, some of those throws he were making, Brian, I don't know if we've seen that at Mississippi State ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember a time that Mississippi State had a guy that was throwing it 40, 50 yards down the field in tight coverage, making throws that some of those throws was really impressive for Michael Van Buren. I don't want him to take a lot of hits, but I want to see him pull it sometimes on those gives that he's given to the running backs. There were a few plays there where I think he could have got 15, 20 yards if he just tucks it and runs instead of just handing it off the middle. I don't know if that's the call and they just don't want him to get hit or if he's making that call, but I would love to see him every now and then pull that thing and start to evolve the running game as well, because I think he has the ability to run the football too. You and I have been high on this kid from the start. I was really excited about him when he got here. My comp for him was Dylan Gabriel, and I'm not backing off that. I really believe that he has that kind of skill set and that kind of potential. I'm not going to shy away from that. I think that he can reach that stage. That's how high I am on him.
Yeah, I made a – just from a, the way he's built, sort of a Kyler Murray comp, he's obviously not that kind of runner.
Yeah.
But Gabriel's
the size.
Gabriel is a plus runner, but he's not an active runner. He's not looking to run. And then that's good. You know, in this offense, you want to make those big plays down. You want to, if you have a quarterback who can get outside the pocket when things are getting loose and he can look, keep his eyes downfield, that's how those big plays are going to happen. And they did in this game.
And that's why I think he should run more. Like, I would like to see there be a happy medium between, you know, not really running that much. And what I don't want is what Ole Miss has done with their quarterbacks and what they did with Lebby when Matt Corral was there, the shots that he was taking. Jackson Dart takes a lot of shots too. I would like to see somewhere in between there. Like, could you be really safe but take the yardage that's there for you, you know, because he has that ability.
Yeah, agreed.
By the way, just a quick little break in. State just had two goals in like a matter of 1 minute in soccer. So
yeah.
they went from 0-0 with like 28 minutes left to 2-0. 2-0.
Let's click the verbiage a little bit there, please. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, 2-0.
I forgot I was supposed to go into English mode whenever
right.
I talk
2-0 in the 21st minute. Pretty good. Yeah, this team has been so good defensively.
Oh yeah, this team with a 2-0 lead, it might have been 2-0 lead.
Yeah,
it might as well be 15.
Basically over at that point. So yeah, if they start scoring goals, watch out. It's a shame. I got one more, and then the next one after that would have been a great segue out of talking about a good defense, but unfortunately we have to do this one. This is number four. This is a real legit SEC receiving core. Craver, Coleman, and Akari, and we saw Akari really for the first time this week.
Come out of his shell.
Yeah. Those three guys, they could play at basically every other school. Like, Coleman and those guys could play at Alabama alongside Ryan Williams. They could play at LSU. They could play at Texas. That's a really good group. And Akari, you know, is the only one who's not scheduled to be back next year. Coleman and Craver both have years remaining. Obviously, you know, you'll have to, you know, work with them in NIL, and Coleman might end up being a draft risk. I don't know. But those guys, Van Buren has real weapons to work with. These guys can play.
You can do a lot of different things with them too. I don't think there's been many guys at Mississippi State like Craver that you look down the field and Van Buren's throwing it and he's got 6-7 yards on the defender. That chunk play he had yesterday that was 70 yards, that he was 5-6 yards ahead of a Georgia defensive back. And those guys have talent. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of speed. And he blew that guy away. That's the kind of speed that you have at Mario Craver. And then the shiftiness of Kevin Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
He had 8 catches for 103 yards, but I feel like they need to get him the ball more.
Yeah.
Just in whatever way that you can. We're finally – I think what this is, Brian, is what we talked preseason about. It's going to take time for some of these guys to mesh, the transfer guys in a new offense, and they're all playing together for the first time. I think you are finally starting to see things gel for a lot of these players on the offensive side of the ball. I think that coincides greatly with the success that they've had, yesterday. Now you just got to put the consistency together, but you're exactly right. How many times over the years have we had those arguments on Facebook or what, not Facebook, but like message board, things like that of, you know, could any of these guys play for another SEC school? Like could either of these players start for SEC teams? And I think
we talked about with
there's
the defense
no doubt about
the
it. Those
we talked about
could.
The defense. We said that maybe only Isaac Smith.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I think you finally have the, and you're going to have receivers like this every year in Jeff Lebby's offense. they're going to recruit good talent. It's a matter of time before they get their NFL receiver. It's just, you know, it's just a, you have to do yeah, it, but it's just a matter of time.
All right, number five. Go back and say the thing about soccer again.
It's 2-0.
And with their what? What do they have? What is the soccer team known for?
Defense.
Yeah, good defense, right?
But well, not the football team.
On the other side of that coin, here's number five. Lebby doesn't have a ton of credit in the bank right now. He is 1-5. Yes, they're looking better, but he doesn't have Mullen year one credit right this second. Bringing Hutzler back is going to use it all up. I mean, those two guys, if Lebby brings him back next year, they are joined at the hip. If State goes 6-6 next year, but this defense isn't any better. I mean, Lebby is in the hot seat in year three, even with an improvement, in my opinion, or he has to make a move.
Yeah.
This defense, I'll do number six here. They're going to be worse than the 2020 Ole Miss defense.
Oh, Bob. Yeah. Long shot.
That team, remember, only played Power Five teams. They played 9 SEC games and then Indiana in the bowl game. This team has given up big yardage to Toledo and Arizona State. Georgia, 41 points and over 600 yards. It's incredible. And what's funny is, again, despite this, they're finding a few more stops. They're getting a couple of turnovers a game, which is great. I mean, the potential is there where they could be giving up 50 points and 700 yards a game. They're finding a way not to do that. But this defense is historically bad. It is really, really bad. This game that we just saw was kind of like what I expected to see all year, right? Where defense just can't make any stops. But offensively, you're going stride for stride with them. But man, oh man. I don't know how you bring him back. I just don't know how you look your fans in the face and say, I know we were the worst defense in college football last year, but we're going to give this guy another go. That's a tough thing to ask.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, if it's just like talent, or, you know, if it's just like a first time coach that ends up figuring it out, getting it done or whatever, you see the evidence of that. You start to see the game plans better. And I guess we have seen a little bit of that, but for the most part, I mean, this defense is just kind of, it's an issue every week. I mean, guys are maybe not being positioned. It's like the game plan's weird that they don't tackle, or, you know, they dropped like two interceptions yesterday. Mm-hmm. They could have had four picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you said, a historically bad defense, and there's no way to fix it this year. And I have my concerns that it's going to be fixed under the current regime. We have no evidence that it will. There's been a lot of issues with misalignments or like some of the fundamental things. Like, it's tough to believe that you're going to get that much better in 1 year just from the players that you pick up. Now, that's a bare minimum what you have to do next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is you got to get better players. That's the bare minimum. Whether you're getting rid of Hutzler or not, you have to have some legit, you know, impact players. And if they don't do that, it don't matter who's coaching.
Agreed. I mean, it's just that I don't see how you can say we're going to bring that guy back. I get all the extra stuff. I get the nuance of the conversation, but at the same time, I mean, I just don't see how you could do it.
I'm running out of reasons to.
Yeah.
At this point, and it feels like you need a proven guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a track record that you're going to be able to say, look what this guy did here, here, and here.
Yeah.
Like, not just that I don't like the fact that it was like the big reason was that he's coached in this league.
Yeah.
That coaching in this league doesn't give you a right
to be a
passage to being a great, and coaching under Nick Saban doesn't.
No, you're right.
It doesn't mean you're going to automatically be – I mean, I have faith that the guys under Nick Saban are going to be good coordinators, but I don't want them to be broken in here.
Yeah. I will say this. Like, State did that a few years back with Sermon, right?
Yeah.
Like, man, unproven guy. It was a train wreck. They bring in a proven guy the next season in Todd Grantham, and they were immediately one of the top defenses in the country. So,
and the changes they made was they got basically Montez Sweat and Jonathan Abram, which
yeah.
I don't want to take away from the, those are two first round picks, but
those
it's two positions
players,
out of 11.
Yeah, those kind of players are available to you in the portal. You can go get those kind of guys. So,
but I mean, even if they wouldn't have had them, their defense would have been miles.
It would help having Simmons in the middle.
But then
again, you got to find a guy. I mean, I don't know if you can find a guy like that, but you got to find that's close to it. Last one, number seven, sort of what we just said. State has a real legit chance to win every game remaining on its schedule. Nothing I have seen from A&M was really good against Missouri. They were not really good against Arkansas. They were not really good against Bowling Green. They were not really good against Notre Dame. That's a game that State has to do a lot right, and A&M probably has to make some mistakes, but State can win. Same with Arkansas. Obviously, with UMass, you feel like State can win. At Tennessee, all of a sudden, the Tennessee Express, the wheels are falling off a little bit. They can't
score.
That's an interesting game now. Missouri, yeah, they played UMass this week and beat the hell out of them, but struggle with Vandy. Vandy might legitimately be like the fifth or sixth best team in the conference. It's kind of weird.
They're good.
But they got blown out by A&M. There's no reason to think they're going to come to Starkville and just run you up and down the field. Oh, and then there's that game at the end of the season. Who knows what that team's going to be when we get there? Hey, speaking of that, that sounds kind of important. Let's talk about something important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Yes, I know I did the ad read again at the front. I'm over it at this point.
It's just part of the bit now.
Yeah, Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by Strange Brew Coffee House. You already know. We haven't talked about it yet, but the for State, it's got to be Brylan Lanier. I have never seen a play like what happened to Lanier on the first touchdown of the second half. And then nobody asked about it in the post-game press conference, so I'm going to ask about it at Monday's. I just want to know what Lanier said coming off the field. I read what he said in his statement that he put on Twitter, which has since been deleted. I didn't think that was a very good look.
No.
For Lanier. It really.
Well, no. Nobody told him to do that. Nobody at State would have told him.
Somebody at State would have been like, put out a statement that says, I want to apologize. I thought I heard the whistle. I didn't. I should have been sure. That's what Coach Hutzler and Coach Lebby teach me. And it'll never happen again. Appreciate your support. Thank you, Bulldogs. But instead, we got something about he had been concussed, which doesn't look good for State at all. Or saying, well, he was concussed and he went back in the game. Don't like that sound. It was just awful. Just a terrible statement. And that's probably why Mississippi State was like, take that down.
Yeah, that's it's basically like mocking the fans too, and like
it was just bad. It was all bad.
That's not going to do anything for you.
So we'll see what happens with Lanier. But that play, and you know what's funny about that play is that if he makes the tackle there, it's first and goal at the three, right? They're probably going to score. But what if you somehow stack them up and you hold them to a
field
goal?
What if they fumble the football? I mean,
what if anything? Also, that game at 40, it's not 41-31, it's 34-31.
I'm not calling him a liar. He might be concussed. I'm not going to say he's wrong on that, but I don't understand what that had to do with that. He was dazed and he wasn't in his right mind.
Yeah.
Like he thought it was a touchdown, so he just first of all, I don't understand why he didn't go to the coaches and say, "Hey, I'm feeling weird. I'm a little woozy."
Yeah.
Like, why is that not a conversation?
Something else has got to happen there, so that he gets no coffee for Mississippi.
Yeah. If he just didn't give effort on that, and like you found out he didn't have a concussion, he didn't give effort, he's not playing for me. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel sympathy for him if he was concussed or whatever, and hopefully that's not the case. And if it is, I hope that he gets better and Obviously, we mean no harm in what we're saying, but if it was him just kind of letting up, it's time for somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's going to be kind of the effort that you get, we got players getting paid now. I mean, this is no longer what it used to be. You have an obligation to go out there and play hard. So hopefully, everything's fine physically. But also, why is he playing cornerback?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
There's a lot of issues with that are encapsulated in that one play. So, let's see if this works.
The turnover, big time, John, big time.
Oh,
LSU's turn for the 25. The Tigers can win it with
this audio, courtesy of the Ole Miss Radio Sports Network.
You got to bow up here, gentlemen. It's big on big, and these defenses played good all night. We got to get one more takeaway.
Ready to go from the 25. LSU will send Thomas wide left. They had to put that poster out earlier to get the touchdown to tie the game. We're in the first overtime, 26-23 Ole Miss. Bring a man in motion to the near side. Nussmeier takes a snap, four-man rush. He pump fakes. He wants to throw, fires toward the end zone. One-on-one, caught, touchdown, ball game. Aaron Lacy.
Well, just succinct and to the point there, David.
Pulls this out. He might as well be Jim Nantz on the back nine.
Oh, Ole Miss. Oh, goodness gracious.
I listened to I was at the Ducks Unlimited banquet. Fun time. And on the way home, my dad and I listened to the game. Well, I tried to listen to it. My dad talked nonstop through the broadcast about anything and everything. Did not stop talking.
Yeah.
So, I had to go over and turn it up one notch every now and then. But anyways, on the way back home, we listened to it, and it was the play where Lacy got his knee, when he got hit, turned weird. Like, it looked like he was seriously hurt.
Right.
And and Ole Miss faked an injury during that play, right after that play. And they said that LSU was faking injuries. The dude clearly, it looked like he just tore his ACL.
Yeah.
It's really a trip listening to those guys.
I'm going to hold off on tearing up my Ole Miss to win the national championship betting slip, because if they go undefeated the rest of the way, they would get in.
I think one more will do.
But one more, and they still got Georgia to deal with. I got a feeling there's more than one more coming. I just got that feeling right now.
Somebody's going to slip up on them.
Here is the stat of the day. And when I first saw it, I had to go and do the math myself. And I'm sure you've seen it at this point, Robbie. But in SEC play, Mississippi State is averaging more points per game than Ole Miss.
And
I can't wrap my head around that. Now,
better defenses collectively, I would think.
Played Texas and Georgia on the road.
Florida sucks, but Texas and Georgia, I think, trumps.
Yeah.
Kentucky's pretty good, but they're not. I don't think they're better than Texas or Georgia.
Kentucky's not a very good team.
But their defense is solid.
It's okay, yeah. South Carolina, they only scored 27 on South Carolina, and then I think if
LSU's defense has not been good.
Not been good. Yeah, I think if you go back in time, you would give Quinshon Judkins whatever he asked for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Judkins completely changes that.
The pooch on that one. That was that mistake. That one decision tanked this team's playoff chances, in my opinion.
Okay. I saw people blaming the running backs coach last night when Bentley broke that big run.
Right.
And they kind of alluded to the fact that Lane was yelling at him on the sidelines, telling him this is why he needs to play more or something. Do we really believe that Lane Kiffin's not deciding who goes in the game? If he wants Bentley in the ball game, he's going to turn around and say, "Hey, sub him in the game."
It's funny how many sayings I still take from Joe Moorhead, considering how bad his time was here. But Joe Moorhead used to say it all the time: "I got 51% of the vote."
Yeah,
you're the head coach of the football team. Whatever you want to do will happen. If you want Ulysses Bentley to play, he will go into the game. You're the head coach.
And he was asked about it. He kind of made it sound like, you know, he's not doing what they want him to do. And he's had to, like, earn their trust or something.
Like he's not at practice or something. What's going on here? I have no idea.
He's obviously doing something. People are saying there's no reason that he – I mean, there are reasons why players don't play.
Yeah.
But, so he's obviously doing something wrong. I don't know what it is, but
– agreed. I agree.
He's easily, you know, right there, one of the most talented running backs they got.
Last one, nationally, not a lot to pick from, so I'm kind of nitpicking. I mean, it's the number two team losing the number three team. But Ohio State, this is – I mean, Texas is kind of getting this right now. Texas hasn't played a big SEC team yet. They've played Oklahoma, who is new, it's just like them, and they played Mississippi State. Texas gets its opportunity to punch the SEC in the mouth this Saturday. Oregon to come in and knock out Ohio State in year one, I mean, that's just not a good look for Ohio State. This is supposed to be your year, and you did nothing to overcome this this narrative that you can't win big ball games. The Will Howard thing, I mean, Will Howard played a great game. He did everything he could do to help that team win. But he made a huge mistake there at the end, and they just mishandled the last minute of that football game. And so now, you know, this is one of those things, what we get to play it again, two things can be true at the same time. That game does have a little less meaning because those teams will probably play each other again, and they could play each other three times this year. That possibility exists. But in the moment of that game, every fan in that stadium wanted their team to win. Every player was doing everything they could to help their team win. Every viewer watching that game was completely invested in it. I know we don't like NIL and we don't like all the changes to college football and we don't like realignment, but without realignment, that game isn't happening. And that was one of the best college football games we'll have this year. This weekend completely delivered on the greatness that was promised. This upcoming weekend should be just as good. We were being spoiled with college football this year. I'm looking
every week.
Every week there's banger games. Every week.
There's not been a single week where I've looked at it and just like there's no – I mean, even the first week, there were USC and LSU.
Well, even week zero, we got Florida State getting upset by Georgia Tech and SMU struggling with who's turned it around. They're playing really well. I mean, there's a lot going on. So, yeah.
Everybody's got to get past the, you know, I hate how college football has changed.
Just watch
like,
the
you got to either just like stop watching it or you're just going to have to – grit your teeth and
like
bear
sauces,
it because the games are awesome. It's created more parity. I've been saying this for weeks. College football is not the same in a good way in that you honestly don't know if you're going to get an upset like Vanderbilt and South Carolina against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's back-to-back weeks. Vanderbilt beat Alabama. South Carolina should have beat Alabama at Bama. That was not happening hardly ever.
Yeah.
And now we get that because there's going to be teams that come along and they get a difference maker at quarterback that they wouldn't normally get. They get a difference maker at running back, wide receiver, defensive end, whatever. And all of a sudden, the playing field evens up just a little bit and you never know what's going to happen. It's no longer about, you know, it is still the rich get richer, but there's, you know, a little bit of Robin Hood in there too.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun stuff. It's like sausage, man. Don't want to know how it's made. I just want to eat it.
Just watch it. Just turn on Saturday.
Watch the games. Don't worry about college football Monday through Friday unless you're a Mac fan. You can start worrying on Thursday. There's good Thursday games. We got great Friday games this year. Don't worry about college football when college football is not being played. Don't worry about the business side of things. Just enjoy the product. Simple as that.
That's right.
All right, tomorrow's show, we'll recap Jeff Lebby's press conference. We'll do our SEC picks. Robbie, now two games up on me, thanks to the LSU Tigers.
Woo! LSU!
That's the only reason Robbie really wanted LSU to win. He could care less about Ole Miss and all that. He's down the middle.
I call it right down the middle.
Right, neutral observer. But he wanted to win the pick'em game, and I get that. I totally understand that, so.
I don't want this to change how you pick games now. I want you to stay aggressive. You're still a gambling man.
I know what I'm doing. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing.
You got to make your move.
I will. All right, guys. Have a great Monday. Robbie and I back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.